Okay. Sorry. Okay, I'm back. Right, so previously we were talking, right, we were in the middle of Mamona Mutha Vesafik, and we got to following discussion. We saw a whole bunch of Gemara, Zitzer, Yachloku as an option, right? You don't know what to do, so we split it. We had Yehimunach, where we confiscate it. We had Kodom Gvar, everyone just like beats each other up until someone gains possession. And we had Shuda Dedaini, where you convince the judges or the judges just decide what they want to do with it. Okay? And we want to know why pick one over the others. We saw in the Gemara's a bunch of different options, like factors that just come up, right, everywhere. You know, like, oh, what about Vade Ramai? Or they already have possession. Or maybe someone will come and then we'll actually have more evidence later. All these different things that you know are being kind of being thrown around in terms of Shavua, in terms of the actual Mamona Mutha Vesafik values, but there's no clear explanation in the Gemara of what the process is, right? What are our values and how do we decide? So we saw that Rashi thought the key factor is whether or not there's a Vade Ramai, right? If it's possible. And even reasonable that it might really be both of them. We don't know who really owns it, who really is the owner, and maybe really they both own it. So then we can split it, right? But if we know that someone's lying, right, so we can't be a party to their deception and to their theft, and then we would say Yehemunah. So for Rashi, the key factor is it really possible that they both own it? We would like to split it, right? That's what actually saying, ultimately, like, kanuha, since it's possible that they both did, we would like to split it. If we know that someone's definitely lying, then we can't split it, and then we're forced to say yehemunah, right? So in terms of our priorities, we want to split it. Splitting is like the most equitable solution. We only do that if there's no vaderama. Tosvos says the opposite. Really, what we want to do, right, by default, is kodom gvah. We would love to walk away. So for Rashi, we want to come up with an equitable solution, right? Sometimes our hands are tied. For Tosfos, Bezdin doesn't want to get involved if it can avoid it, right? We don't know what to do. There's no evidence. There's no proof. So why get involved? You know, it's almost like when the Supreme Court, just avoids dealing with thorny issues, and they're just like, we're not obligated to hear this case, so we're just going to ignore it right now, right? You know, maybe we'll deal with it later, but not right now. We just don't want it. So the same thing. Bezdin doesn't want to get their hands into the muck of dealing with things when there's no evidence and there's no clear solution. They'd rather say, call the Olam Gvar and just leave it. What's the problem? Here, they're actually holding on to it. And because they're holding on to it, we have to do something. We have to get involved because, right? We actually have evidence, says Tosfos. Right, we have to get involved because we have evidence that it belongs to both of them, right? And since it's possible that it's both theirs, we split it. By the boat, okay. Well, what about by the boat? After Shehi Shel Shnehem, since neither of them are actually holding on to it, it's possible that it's both of theirs, right? But since they're not Muchzak Bo. So the din is called Olam Gvar, and we just don't get involved, right? The Rosh is very similar, although it's a little bit more pointed. For Tosfos, it sounds like, right, ideally we'd walk away, but in this case, we have evidence, right? We know that it belongs to the two of them. For the Rosh, it seems like it's a little bit, even like a little bit more b'di'eved, right? He says, "In bezdin b'chuyav limchos," if neither of them are holding on to it. Right, if it's a davar shabalikach she'inanu yodim shalmihu, but here, right, kiven the shnehim bayim lefanenu mochzakim beguf atalis tzrichim lefsok lehudin chalukah. Right, the kol davar shanu ruam bi'ar adam chashvina shu shalau. Right, and e after lefsok kol davar gvar. And if someone, if we see one of them pull it away from the other, we have to get involved because we see A taking away something from B, right, which is presumed to be B's. So two people are fighting over something. Right? We have evidence or we have reason to assume that each one owns half. If one of them takes it from the other, we just witnessed, right, someone taking someone else's object. So we have to get involved, but we really don't want to. We just really have to. Now, Tosos implied that we would avoid getting involved, but here we have evidence, right? Anan Sadi to Shalom. The Rosh is saying, I don't know that it is, right? Chashvinan Shehu Shalom. I don't know that it is, but since he has it, and the presumption is that it's his, I'm not allowed to let A grab it away from it, right? So for the Tosfos, it's almost like, oh, normally we avoid it, but here we actually have evidence. Here they already have it, and Anan Sadi that it's his. The Rosh is saying, even though we don't really know that it's his, we can't let A beat up B and steal his stuff. So we have to get involved, but otherwise we'd avoid it entirely. Okay, right? Right, and even though we know one of them's lying, it doesn't matter because I still can't let A steal from B or B steal from A. One of them is definitely lying, or both of them, you know, someone's definitely a liar, but they already have possession, so I can't let either take it away from. Right? For Tosfos, you could say that if you reached a certain level of impossibility, right? Let's say it was impossible for it to belong to both of them, then for Tosfos, it might be that we wouldn't say Anan Sa'adi, and then maybe we like say Hey Munach or something like that. For the Rush, the implication a little bit is, even if it was impossible for it to be both of theirs, you know, we still might be in the same situation because each one's being toe-faced and we just can't take it away from either one, right? So essentially for the Rush, Besdin wants to avoid the issue entirely. But here, since they already have possession, we can't allow A to steal it from B. Okay, the Ramban, right, also, you know, he has the same problem with the Sugi as everyone else. He says, right, Kashalu l'Rabbana, v'lema kol da'olam var, ki ha'hi damrina b'perek chazkas ha'batim, by the boat, Rabbeinu Hananel says like this, right? Since each one of them, say in the case of the boat, neither of them are holding on to it, right? Aval mishnatenu sheshnehem adukim ba ein mutziin miadam lomar kol da'olam kvar. Right? Since they're holding on to it, they already have it, right? So we can't take it out of their hands in order to do kol da'olam kvar. V'chein katav Rabbi Shmuel, v'i kashalach ihachi. The Gemara assumes that if two people give a pikadon to a third party to hold on for them, for the object for them, and then right, then the guy doesn't know who had the 200 and who had the 100. And that's the same as shnayim osnim b'talmas. But there, guy number three is holding on to it, not A and B. Dilma matnitin shayni, kivan detafsila lo mafkina minayhu, shakeshem she'in motzin miadam, lomar kol da'olam kvar, kach in motzin miadam, lomar yehim munach. He says, the third guy, right, he says yehim munach, he says, wait a second, why don't we say yehim munach? He says, we can't take it away from him so that they could fight it out, but we also can't take it away from them to say yehim munach, right? Meaning for the Rush and Tosfos, it's an idea of, well, since they already have possession, we have to protect their possession. The Ramban is saying they have it, right? So we're not actually doing anything. Ain motzi mi adam at all. We're not taking it away from them to do kol da'olam. We're not taking it out to say yehe munach, right? We're simply leaving it where it already is, right? At least for Tosfos and the Rush, yachloku is a solution. Right? So here, let's say we have two questions now. What is our preference, number one? But number two is, what is Yachloku? Is Yachloku a solution to the problem? right? We're going to split it. We decided to split it, as Rashi says, right? Because it's possible that it's, right? It could be either one of theirs or both of theirs. So we've decided to impose Yachloku. Says the Ramban, we're not imposing Yachloku, right? We're simply acknowledging what the status quo is. They both have it, right? It's in their hands, and we're not willing to take it away from them, even though we prefer other solutions, right? Yachloku is not a solution, right? It says the Ramban, Yachloku is a lack of solution. Kol Da'alim is a solution. Yehei Munach is a solution. Yachloku is just the status quo, right? In Motzim Yadam Lomar Yehei Munach. And then he's explaining the Gemara on Lamed Zayin. I have a Lameknaski Hechid Delodi. I don't know. I'm actually glad they had me up in Kaso, etc. Okay, but his point is, right? In a Chinami, we'd prefer to say Yehi Munach, but we're simply acknowledging that in Motzim Yadam, we're just not willing to take it out of their hands. Right? The Rush and Tosfos were saying the fact that they're holding on to it gives us a measure of evidence that it belongs to them. And we Bezdin have to deal with that evidence. We have to acknowledge that as as the ground rules within which we're going to operate. The Ramban saying it has nothing to do with evidence. It has nothing to do with Bezdin deciding to do anything and then coming to a conclusion based on that. Nothing's happening by Yachloku, right? It's simply this is the status quo, and we're not going to change it. We're going to accept the fact that both of them have half. Okay. Then the Ramban quotes the Yesh Omrim, Hatam Hanu Taima Daminam Koda Al Gvar, Mishum Devada Ika Ramai, V'idamar Lav Demar. Right? Then there's another perspective, there's another Shita that says, really, it's not that, oh, the key factor is who's holding on to it. The key factor is because of Vada Ramai. Kidamiran Hishmaita Badia. Given Shizel Marshal of Otai, Zel Marshal of Otai, Vada Lob Mekahna. Okay, so that's like Rashi. It's like really, right? We want to do Yachloku, right? But it needs to be possible that it's MS, and we have to say Kol Dom Gvar when there's a Vade Raman, because then we can't impose Yachloku, right? Because that would be taking money which definitely doesn't belong to one of them and giving him half. And you can't just give the Ganav half of someone else's money, right? So then we do Kol Da'alim, because then maybe the owner will get everything. And if not, we still didn't give the Ganav anything. Okay, so this is like Rashi. So the Ramban basically quotes both extremes. He quotes Rashi's opinion, right, as the Yesh Omrim, essentially, that we want to do Yachloku. Yachloku is a solution, right, but we can only do it under certain circumstances. And if we can't do it, then we have to move on to other solutions, right? But his main opinion, the first opinion he quotes is, Yachloku is just a totzah of the reality that they both already have it, right? It's not even a solution. It's just the status quo. Okay. Tosus and Baba Basra also has an opinion like that, right? Rabbeinu Tam says, right, Osen Shiny, Kimon Shishneim, Osakin, in Lanu Lahaniach, Shigzo as Yachar Lechabero, like the Rush, right, the Chashib Kiilu, on Yodim Shishneim, Chelek Ba, Shkoldaver Yish Lahamid Bechazkas Mishu Biado, and therefore we just can't allow A to take it away from B, right, like the Rush. Ulrivanire, here's what happens. Now the Rivanire, the Lav Dafka Osen, doesn't have to be that they're both holding on to it. Right, the daminam of the shaver hashmin and ikal shanuye can mishani hasam afilu tamer yosi, where there's a third party holding on to it. Right there, it's only because vada ikaramai hachi emar travai bahadi adad yagvua hachanami ba'arba kivan di ikaramai lo yachlo. Here, as Tosfos Baba Basra, the Rav says it's only because there's a vada ramai that we're not going to be do yachlo. Right, ella hevi dina called al gvar hello amrina and shneim shekvidu called al gvar. Right? Why do we ever say called Yemunach? right? Because the guy already has it, and we can't take it away for them to do kol dam vav, right? Hachanami havelon the mimar yachlogu. Really, we want to say yachlogu. The efshaliyot the have arba tshavayu. Or pirush mivad the hecha the ochzen afilu ikurama yachlogu. Then the Riva goes a step further and says, if there's no vade ramai, we always do yachlogu. Even if there is a vade ramai, we'll still do yachloku if they're ochzen. Right? Okay, why? Right? That's going, that's a step beyond Rashi, right? And the Yeshomrim and the Rambam. So I would say like this, for Rashi, right, we want to do yachloku because, right, then at least everyone gets half, and maybe they really both deserve half, but really because we want, it's the most equitable solution. Says the Riva, okay, it's the most equitable solution. We want to do yachloku. So why don't we always do yachloku? So the answer is we can't always do yachloku because if there's a vade ramai, we can't hand over half of the money to the ramai, right? Because then Bezdin is essentially a partner in the theft. But let's say Bezdin's not handing anything over because they're already ochsen. Right? The Riva is kind of saying it's not like, oh, yachloku is a solution that we're imposing, and therefore we can only impose it if it makes sense. He says, no, yachloku is the ideal that we always impose as often as we can, even if it doesn't make sense. The only problem is that Beis Din can't take money and then give it away to somebody else, right? And like basically commit geneva. But ultimately, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing wrong with the fact that the Ramai is going to get half. I mean, it's not ideal, but okay, that's the reality, right? We don't know what to do with this. It's Mamon Mutab Safek. We're going to do Yachloku because that's the best solution. Says the Rival, the only problem is that Bezin can't take money and then give it to the Ramai. If we know he's around, if that one of these guys is a Ramai. Right? So I have $100. Bezin can't take 50 of it and give it to a thief. Right? He's stealing because the Bezin's helping the guy steal. But if both of them are already holding on to it, Bezin's not doing any Maisa Geneva. So it's fine. Right? So while Rashi was saying we always want to do Yachloku, but we can't if conceptually it's not really accurate, it's not honest, right? The Riva says, even if it's not honest, even if we know it's not an accurate representation of the ownership, the only problem is like the Maisa Geneva itself. That's in taking the money and giving it away to a thief. But the fact that we're taking money and dividing it in a way which is not an accurate representation of the ownership, of justice, like that doesn't bother us. Why? Because this is a solution that's not in the world of, you know, of justice, of proof and evidence. This is, we have money, we don't know what to do with it, or we're going to split it between the two parties who might own it, because that's the most socially convenient, that's the most, you know, ethically convenient option, but it's not necessarily a reflection of justice and the truth. Okay. The Rashba just quotes Rabbeinu Hananel, like we saw in the Ramban, and his formulation is a little bit clearer, but it's similar to what we were saying a minute ago within the Ramban. Just what's Rabbeinu Hananel say? Here's Rabbeinu Hananel. Shiny hacha, which of the tfisi. It says, Alma, tfisa mahanya ki ilu nechlika. Right? Tfisa works as if it was already split. Hilkach yachloku. Right, just emphasizing this idea that according to the Ramban, according to this Rabbeinu Hananel, it's not that we, Beis Din, are splitting it. Right, it's already split. We're simply acknowledging that reality. Right. Umikol makom nirali lefi dat Rabbeinu Hananel the choshet tfusin v'ondim ein hefresh be'ika v'aderamai v'leika v'aderamai. Right, it doesn't matter if there's a v'aderamai or not a v'aderamai, because ultimately all I really care about, by if they're tofsin, is the fact that they already have it, right? If I know someone's a liar, and he's saying, oh, I don't know, says like, by the way, I own the Brooklyn Bridge, right? I'm not going to go and then take away his wallet. Okay, he's a liar, right? He says, oh, I don't know, he's driving a Tesla, and he's like, oh, I own this Tesla because I'm Elon Musk. Like, okay, you're not, right? We're not going to take away his car because it's his car, right? He owns the car. He has the car. Could be he bought it, right? Probably he owns it. He just also is a crazy person. That's fine, right? We don't take away people's, you know, stuff just for being crazy. So, great. They both have whatever half they have, right? Ki'ilu nechleka. It's already as if it's split. Hilkach yachloku. They keep their half, right? And the fact that there's a Ramai is irrelevant to us because they already have it. So great, one of them's a liar, but they already have it. We're not going to take it away unless we have proof. Umihu the ikar kushyan. Nearly odotar, it's the shiny hacha. Okay? Now this is the Rajva's opinion, not Rabbeinu Chanan, no? Shiny hacha, deleika lemeika maladimilta. What really matters is that we have no way in the case of Shnai Mochsin, v'cholhecha deleika lemeika maladimilta yachlok. We have no way of figuring out what happened. Let's say in the case where they both gave money to the, you know, to the shopkeeper, and we don't know, right, which one he was misratzah for. And the shopkeeper doesn't know. There's no way to come with evidence and prove it one way or the other, right? We know that there's no solution down the line. So says the Rashba, if we know that evidence isn't coming down in the future, so then we'll do yachloku, right? There's money, it's multiple safek, so let's divide it nicely between two groups. If we have a doubt, then maybe witnesses will come later. So what happens? So Bez is going to come and impose Yachloku, and then witnesses are going to come and say, oh, it actually all belongs to A, all belongs to B. Okay? Now, there are two reasons why that might be a huge factor. One is it looks bad for Bez, right? Bez went and did A, and now they're going off and doing the opposite, right? Number two is, what's the point, right? Why should Bez impose a solution for the sake of coming to a solution and just doing something with the money, if ultimately, maybe, right, we'll just get actual evidence in another week, in another few days, right? So, but for the Rajba, the real factor is one that's Bezin centric, right? Bezin's not going to, if Bezin gets involved, they want to do Yachlok. But they're only going to get involved if, right, there's no other way to deal with this, if there's no, more evidence that might show up or something like that. But once we hit that dead end of Leika Lemeika Mala Demilta, there's no way to figure out the truth. So then Bezin will come in and impose some sort of settlement. But if it's possible that witnesses will come, so why should Bezin come and impose a settlement? Right? Okay. Hold on once. I just want to make sure I don't have. Okay, so let's. So what shittos do we have? So we have mamon amuta b'safek. Option number one is it's a pshara, right? Our ideal is to say let's reach a compromise. Let's give everyone, let's say half, right? And then the owner will get half. Great, right? Sounds like a good solution. What could muck up the works? So if there's a vade ramai, so Bezdin can't go help Geneva, right? Then what happens? Bezdin will just kind of walk away and leave it to call the Olam Kvar. Okay, that's the Riva and the Yeshomim and the Ramban. The Riva, I really should split this because the Riva, right, is even more that, even if there's a Vader Ramai, if there's Tvisa, so the problem is only if Bezdin actually hands it over. Okay, but ultimately, the idea is really we want to do Yachloku, but we can't if there's a Vader Ramai. The Rajba says, actually, the Vayder Ramai doesn't bother us. What bothers us is that maybe witnesses will come, right? So if witnesses might come, then we're not going to be mafsid A, right, and give it to B, because then we'll have to either undo it or we'll just look bad for Bezdin that they gave half the money to Bob, and it turns out we found proof that Bob's a thief, right? So that's, that's socially destabilizing, right? But what matters is the fact that we can be make a mamla demil that there we can or cannot find evidence in the future. But barring those cases, we reach a pshara of Yikalobu. On the other hand, right, the Ramban, Tosos, and the Rush say, no, no, really, Bezdin just wants to walk away. Bezdin just doesn't want to get involved in this stuff, right? Bezdin deals with evidence, Bezdin deals with truth and justice, and we have no evidence here, so why should we get involved, right? Except, right, says the Ramban, if they're already Ochsin, so then they already have it. Bezdin's not getting involved. If no one has it, we let them fight it out. If they both already have it, we let them keep having it, right? And there's no, we can't say kol dam bar because they already have it, and there's, that's already the reality. So always, says the Ramban, our first assumption is to leave things as they are. If it's sitting on the floor, they can, and they're fighting about it, they can fight about it. If they have it, they get to keep having it. And we just leave the status quo. Says Tosfos, well, we would like to walk away, but here we have evidence, right? Anan Sahadi, Shemad Tachas Yado Shalom. And then we're going to do Yachloku, but we have proof that it belongs to each other. For the Rush, it's somewhere like in the middle, where it's a Chazaka Mahash Tachas Yado Shalom. We didn't imply that it belongs to him. And it's not that we know that it's his, but since it's they already have it, and we presume that it's probably his, we can allow the other guy to take it away from him, right? Meaning for the Ramban, they both already have it, so we're just keeping it that way. For the Rush, we do have to split it, or we do have to enforce the split, but because we need it, we would otherwise let them do Kol Da'olim, but otherwise I see A taking something from B, and that presumably is theft, and therefore Bezdin has to get involved and make sure that each one gets their half. Okay. What is the role of Bezdin, right? Because this side of the board says, oh, Bezdin's willing to sacrifice on the fact that it's probably not, you know, all A's or all B's. So we're still splitting it, even though it's probably not true, or even if it's almost, you know, clearly not true according to the Rajma, right? Even if it's Bader Amai. While this side of the board says, no, Bezdin's going to let people beat each other up in the streets forever, and that doesn't bother us, right? Either one, right, takes a very different view on what, like, Bezdin's default role is. So we have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which actually has this very core machlokas about, you know, what is our ideal? What is Bezdin's core job? Etanu Rabbanan, k'shem shahadin b'shlosha kach bitzua, like arbitration and compromise, arbishlosha, nigmar hadin, iatai rashai b'tzua. If you reach a conclusion, you can't then say, oh, let's make a compromise, right? Rabbi Lazar, now that's like the Mishnah. Okay, now, Rabbi Lazar b'nosh Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, aser l'tzua v'chol avotzea harei zechot. Rabbi Lazar b'Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, it's aser to compromise, right, to do a pshara, and if you do, you're a chote, right? The chol mevarech es avotzea harei zemenayit, alzei namar avotzea barech neitz Hashem, ela yiko hadin es ahar, right? The truth, you know, shall, you know, you should always, like, follow the absolute truth. Yiko hadin es ahar, the din, the justice, you know, pierces the mountain. Shenemar kol mishpat elokimi, ilo mishpat elokimi, v'chin Moshe hayomer yiko hadin es ahar, you know, but I don't know, the old shalom rode shalom, mishim shalom, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Hareisha Gazal Sashal Chitim. Okay, that's Pasuk. Rabbi Meir Omer, Lo Nemar Botzea Ela Kineged Yehuda, Shenemar, Vayomer Yehuda Elachim Ma Betza Kineroget Achinu, Bechol Mevarech Es Yehuda Arizim Nais, Melta Nemar Botzea Barech Nehitz Hashem. Who is the big Pshara person in Bereishis? It's Yehuda, right? He reached the Pshara with the other with the brothers and said, oh, let's not, you know, kill our brother, let's instead sell him, right? That was his pshara, right? You see, pshara is bad. Okay, so one approach to say yikov hadin asahar, truth, justice, and we don't care about, you know, yeah, it's hard, right? It's not always the most convenient, but, you know, yikov hadin asahar, and we just drill right through to get to the truth. Rabbi Shua ben Karacha Omer, mitzvah l'vtzoa. Adrabah, there's a mitzvah to do pshara. Shenemar, אמת ומשפט שלום שפטו בשעריכם, הלא במקום שיש משפט עם שלום, right? When you have justice, you don't really have peace. במקום שיש שלום, אין משפט, right? And when you're making peace and making nice, when everybody be friends with each other, right? You're not doing what's strictly just. אלא איזה משפט שיש בו שלום, הביא אומר את זה ביצוע, right? When do you have something that's both just and peaceable, that's when you compromise, okay? Okay, then it brings down a few deos about the balance between them, okay? Los maskana, we say, right, mitzvah lememralu, idina b'yisu, ipshara b'yisu, okay? Right, tanakama sabar rishas, no, I don't have rest. Basically, and then there's like a middle option that says like, okay, there's a value of shara, there is a value of din, but once you know basically what the din is, you can't do shara anymore. Once you really know lehechana din note, but if you don't, you from the outset you can say, guys, we will just go to shara. Okay, so you really have a pro shara camp. You have no shara is literally just like a mistrial of a miscarriage of justice, right? You're basically saying, oh, A really owns the money, or someone really owns the money. But you know what? Let's make a pshara, let's make everybody happy, right? That's, you know, that's immoral. So one of them is the real owner, one of them is not. There's truth, and you're committing a crime against truth, right? So, you know, one approach is to say, well, Bezdin's real job is, you know, truth and justice. And that is now, it's about shalom, right? Oev shalom, rodev shalom, etc. And then I'm just going to add in from what we saw in the Gemara, right? Ma hifsid ramai. Maybe we also need to make sure that society is functioning because we want to prevent crime. Right? Maybe not only do we want to help the victim, we also want to prevent the commission of crimes. So we also want to help the owner as much as possible, right? So we have this idea of like shalom, versus din, right? Is pshara a good thing? Is pshara a bad thing? We generally hold pshara as a good thing, but we also kind of moderate it that it's, once you really know who the real winner is, you really shouldn't do pshara anymore. And then the other question is about Beis Din. This is less of what their goal is, but more of how do they function, which is their preference, is their mandate very interventionist, very involved in, we see something, we want to get involved automatically, right? Unless we can't, unless we shouldn't, unless that would, you know, cause more damage than good. Or is there default to say, look, we deal with, you know, with cases with evidence, we deal with things that we actually have means of dealing with. And if we don't have proof, if we don't have evidence, we don't have, or even like chazakos or whatever that can help us answer the question, so we just won't get involved. And I think that we really see this as a machlokas in the Rishonim, right? And in the Gemaras here, right? You know, what's like what's most important to us? So we saw Rabbi Yossi thinks the most important thing is lahafsid ramai, right? To make sure that that crime doesn't pay. More than we want to help the victim, we want to stop crime, we want to make sure crime doesn't pay, okay? Another option is, no, we focus on the status quo, right? The most powerful factor is the status quo. Is someone holding on to the object? Where is it? We leave it where it is. So, you know, if they're fighting about it in the streets, leave it there. If they already have possession, we keep the possession, right? For Rashi, the issue is Badei Ramai. Beis Din would like to create peace. They'd like to create shalom, right? But if there's a Badei Ramai, then Beis Din is gonna avoid it because they don't want to be a partner in crime, right? So they're not gonna split it if there's a bother at night. If not, they would like to do a pshara and help everyone out. But for Rashi, it's very much like an attempt at pshara. For Tosvos, unless it's EF Shalios MS, we're gonna do either Kol Da'alim or Yafloku, right? Ideally, we'll do Kol Da'alim. If they already have it, so we'll do yachloku, but only if it's not nonsensical. Because Beis Din just can't do something nonsensical. And the Rashba says, actually, even if it's nonsensical, that's fine. But only if we've exhausted the possibilities of bringing in proof, right? If we've gotten past the evidentiary change, there's no option for evidence to come and to really get to the truth. So then we move on to doing some sort of pshara, But first, right, we have to hold out for the possibility that Aiden will come or something like that. Okay, yeah, questions? Yeah. Eva.
Okay, I really like the fact that you brought in this Gemara because I love this Gemara and I've had it in the back of my head for the last two shiurim. But the reason why I didn't bring it up is because I'm wondering if we could maybe better define what Shara or Bitsua means here, because I had assumed it's a more customizable kind of arbitration scenario. And yeah, if absolutely. You decide...
I'm importing. It's not a direct correlation.
Okay. So wait, let me just continue with my train of thought and then we can like try and like bridge the two, because if we're going to say that in X kind of situation, the outcome is Yahloku still becomes Dean, right? So taking that into the Sugya in Sanhedrin, wouldn't we still prioritize Yahloku, even if we chose Yahloku because the sentiment of meeting the parties both way, we won't carry that further and do Bitsua, we're going to insist on Dean.
So it depends, right? It depends on whether we think Yahloku. If you think like the Ramban and Rabbeinu Hananel, then Yahloku is Din, right? If you think like Rashi and the Riva, then Yahloku is Pshara that we want to do, but it's essentially a type of Pshara. So if they have some other Pshara they want to do, I think maybe we'd embrace that, right? And for the Rashi, you know, for the Ramban and Rabbeinu Hananel, since they already have possession, it's not a pshara, right? That's the reality. Those are the facts on the ground. It could be that if we like pshara, we'll be happy for them to do pshara between them. But fundamentally, we're going to say, look, these are the facts. Din is yachloku. For Rashi and the Riva, din isn't yachloku, right? Our solution to the problem is yachloku, but that's a solution, right? That's something that we're deciding, even though it's not the result of evidence, which sounds like it's an imposition of some form of shara that Bezdin does, not mitzad the bailim. You can even argue that, like, you know, since there's no din option here, or this is the din in the absence of actual proof and evidence, you know, because ma'on ul tepasafik yachloku, because that's just what we do. But ultimately, it's not like a din. Oh, this is like the rules of dini mamonis. This is where the evidence brings us. But it's a solution that Bezdin's imposing. Right? Yachloku is pshara according to Rashi, let's say, or the Riva, but not according to the Ramban. Because the Ramban says it's just a result of the status quo. This is what we see in front of us. Or even the Rush, who says, well, there's proof in his favor, right? Tosis is anan sadi, the mind tafis shalom. For Rashi and the Riva, you're right. It's a pshara. And then, you know, maybe we should do some other pshara for the Ramban and Rabbeinu Hananel. They already have it, so that's the din.
Okay, can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah, sure. Oh, just one more thing. One thing before that is that, right, again, what we're saying is, all the Rishonim kind of acknowledge that these different options are out there, but what's part of what we see from what their line of thinking is what's Bezdin's primary response to this issue? Do they want to impose a pshara? Do they want to do yachloku? And then if they can't, they'll do other stuff? Or no, they really don't want to get involved because that's not din. And then they'll only do, you know, let's say yachloku if that is actually din, or if, you know, there's some reason that forces them to do that. But ideally, right, they want to stay away from these psharos and getting their hands dirty with things that don't have any evidence behind it. Yeah, follow-up question.
Okay, so would you say that for someone like in the Rashi camp who says that we're choosing Yahloku or whatever in favor of Bitsua, Yahloku becomes like a tool in the Dayan's pocket that they can choose to use or not use in a particular circumstance, or it becomes the thing that we always do in favor of like the spirit of Bitsua?
One more time? Sorry,
Okay. So going with my previous understanding of Bitsua as being this like customizable thing based off of a particular case, if you're going to say that if according to Rashi Nariva, we're fought, we choose a certain yichloku or some other outcome in favor of the spirit of Bitsua, then do we use Bitsua every time because that's the outcome that we choose in favor of like the spirit of Bitsua? Or is it just something you can use in a case where you need to moderate? So is it a now let's do this or
You mean like within like cases of Mamana Mutu Pasafik?
Yeah. Because like, my question if it becomes
a just come set, up with something different.
If it becomes a set solution every time we see this kind of case, why would that be Bitsua and not Dean?
Well, because Bitsua isn't necessarily, I mean, there are two questions, right? Bitsua is customizable, but the point of Bitsua, right, is that it's compromise, right? Even the, not based on the hard facts, let's say, of the case, and like the, you know, the hard laws in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, but based on some sort of equitable compromise where, you know, helps people out. Again, if you can have cases where legally one person can be determined to be the owner, well, let's say morally, there's no reason why they deserve it more than another person, right? It happens to be legally, like, you know, they're the one who got locked out, which is important. It's important for law to, you know, get to have some sort of, you know, final decision on these things, right? I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example. You have, like, two partners in this and, like, you know, Vince made money or didn't lost money, right? The question is how to divide that loss between them. Based on like the structure of the partnership or whatever, it, right? It could be more on one of them than the other, right? I don't know. You have someone who's transporting something from one place to the other for his, you know, as part of like the, I don't know, a wine seller or a wagon owner, and they partner up to sell the guy's wine in some other city, right? And then robbers come and steal all the wine, right? So you can definitely be a pal, right? You know, I don't know, the wagon driver is the one who's there, so it happened under his watch. On the other hand, it's an ones, and he's not really a shomer of the barrels. So, right, so maybe, I don't know, it's the own barrel owner's problem because it's his stuff, it got robbed, tough luck, right? The wagon driver's still, his wagon's there, he's still transporting. On the other hand, like, they're partnering together to sell this wine in whatever city, they were gonna split the profits. It's not like the barrel owner, the wine owner was just going to pay him for the services, right? They were partnering. So maybe you consider that like, oh, there's a partnership and then they should share the loss, right? Et cetera. Or let's say some of the barrels got stolen, but not the others. You know, do you say, well, the barrel, the wagon driver should get his full salary and, you know, the it's the wine owner's problem. Stuff like that. You know, you can both, you know, go through Choshen Mishpat and you can figure that out. Right? On a moral level, I would assume, I would be no dead to say, like, they partnered together to do something, right? Their partnership took a hit. You know, they made some profit, they had some losses, they should theoretically split it, right? That's shara, because we're saying, like, well, that's, you know, the reasonable thing to do, even though legally we can say, well, if they wrote a shtar, and how they formulated the shtar, and like, how they did everything, so then we can say, oh, really, it was still under his possession, or no, it actually was already in his possession, et cetera, et cetera. You know, did they have some sort of LLC that was, you know, that they jointly owned, or no, it was like a handshake deal. So, okay, if it was a handshake deal, so the wine still belonged to the wine seller, and like, you know, all the losses are in him. But ultimately, right, they're operating as a partnership. So, you know, if you're doing Shara, right, so then you'd reach one conclusion. If you're following, like, you know, like the Yikov Adin HaSahar, it says, well, legally he owned it, and he, you know, was just transporting it. And even though they agreed to split the profits, that doesn't change the ownership of the barrel. So the person who lost money was only the wine owner, and tough luck, right? It's not so much that it's customizable as much as that it's an attempt to find, to balance the different, let's say, values and fairness of the situation, right? Because the law isn't always fair, right? Law can be very, can be very unfair. Doesn't make it not law, but it does, it doesn't mean that it's fair. And what's fair can be very amorphous, and it can be, lead to total societal meltdown, when everyone decides that they are the ones who knows what's fair and the other person is being unreasonable, which is why we need to have law. But they're different. And it's not just the customizability of Kshara that helps. It's the fact that it's saying, well, what's fair in this situation? Regardless of what the, not regardless, but, in balance with the legalities. So even if something becomes set in stone, right, you have two people who are working together and they incur a loss or they incur a profit, they should split it. Even if that becomes totally customary and totally normal, if it's not contractually obligated, it'll still be pshara, even though it's not customizable, let's say. Right? Now, it could be that there are cases where things that are just like common and accepted and normal are also then become legally binding because Dini Mamonas, especially Minhag, has a lot of power in terms of defining the parameters of your business deals and your intent, etc. But that's like a separate question of like, oh, when they agreed to something, was it presumed they were also agreeing to XYZ? That's already like a, a question of das and whatever, which isn't so relevant to us. But the idea in this Gemara about Pshara is about a general value. How much do we want to say Yikub Dina Sahar and we just care about the truth? And then applying that from in general to should Bezdin encourage people to do Pshara? Because right? You could also say peace is great. Aaron HaKohen with Mr. Oyev Shalom or Oyev Shalom, but Bez Din, their job is to do Din. So if Bez Din comes and tells you to do Pshara, right, they're undermining the rule of law. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Osher Rias and Glevi is modeh that Aaron HaKohen was Oyev Shalom and Oyev Shalom, right? So it's not that Pshara is always bad, but Bez Din's job, right, is Din. And if Bez Din, suggests Pshara, then they're a chote, right? The people themselves, if they want to do it before they get to Bez Din, okay, that's acceptable. They can be nice to each other. But Bez Din has to uphold the law, right? Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha says, no, it's a mitzvah for Bez Din to encourage Pshara, right? Their primary goal, even more than upholding the law, is to uphold peace, right? And society, and societal cohesion, smoothly functioning society. So then I think we want to pull that into what we're talking about, which is what's Bez Din's default position when it comes to Mamon HaMutar B'Safek. So we really have two fat questions. What are Bez Din's goals? And what's their mandate, right? What are their goals? Do they want truth? And they're going to say Yikov HaDin HaSahar. Or do they want Pshara? Do they want to make everything work, to make society fine and people be able to live with each other? And then the second question is, even if they want truth, or even if they want Pshara, right, let's say they love Pshara, but they're not necessarily going to get involved if their primary status is non-interference, right? Don't get involved unless people ask you to, and you know what to do. Otherwise, just, better, sur meira than to, do the wrong thing by trying to be aseitim. Okay, and next year is Sunday.